Now, all of us have seen it, where we've known people, and maybe we've even been in those seasons of life ourselves, where we just don't even know why we're here. And we were alive, we just don't know why we're alive. We've seen it, and maybe at times we've felt it. Now, that's one of the ways where the gospel is such good news, because see, Jesus tells us what our purpose for life is. You know, the number one thing he tells us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, we are called to love God and love people. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at is that in the midst of that larger calling to love God and love people, God gives each of us and all of us some unique capacities to do that. That there are things that you and I are particularly good at. These God-empowered gifts. Now, we are in a series called Connected, where over the next few weeks, we are going to be in, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. So we've been kind of making a slow journey through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where Paul introduces you could argue this is the dominant metaphor in the New Testament for the church. Like what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, there are multiple metaphors. Family is one of them. We've also sung things like we're also part of the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But the metaphor that the Apostle Paul develops the most is the metaphor of the body. We are the body of Christ. Just as Jesus was embodied as a Savior who came, who lived, who died, who rose again, His Spirit lives inside each and every one of us. Every person who's given their heart to Jesus, Jesus came in and He's transforming you from the inside out. Something new is living in you. And because of that, together we are embodying Christ. We are the body of Christ together. Now, we're going to go to the earlier part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We kind of started in the middle of the chapter because I wanted us to really lock in on that metaphor, what it means to be embodied, the gift of being embodied and how every part of the body matters. I also wanted to make sure there was enough time for you to get established in your connection groups. We have quite a number of connection groups right now. Many of you are in a connection group where you're having these conversations. So I wanted those groups to have a little bit of time to have some relationship, because we're going to get to what might be, well, at least from a learning your purpose on earth, like why am I here? What am I here for? This is pretty exciting stuff. So we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. So turn with me, open your Bibles up, paper Bibles, digital Bibles, however you access God's word. Let's find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start with verses 4 through 7. And then we're going to get into the more specific stuff. So Paul writes to the highly dysfunctional church in Corinth. I love this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in what? What's the word? Everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to some of us, is that right? Did I misquote scripture? Did they get it wrong? To who? Each. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's two things we have to lock in before we start talking about spiritual gifts. First one is this. Number one, God determines the gifts. Who determines what gifts you get? What if you just work harder for it? No. It's a gift from God. What if you wish you had the gifts that Larry has? No. But Larry's awesome. No? So we don't get to envy one another's gifts. We don't get to choose our own gifts. Who chooses the gifts? Okay. And who gets the gifts? everyone, all who follow Jesus, everywhere. And each gift is for all. It is for the common good. You have a gift, but it's not for you. It's for everyone. It is for the body of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are gifted. You are gifted. You are gifted. Now, it's important for us to hear that because there's so many believers who believe they are not. If we trust the scriptures, we trust that God's word is going to be true for all people in all situations, which means that every single Christ follower has something to offer. Every Christ follower has a gift of some sort. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the list of gifts. So actually, I'm going to read the same passage twice, this week and next. And this week, I want to look at the first four gifts of the nine gifts that are listed, kind of talk through what they mean. And my hope is this would just spark a conversation. Well, first, an internal conversation, like, I wonder what my spiritual gifts are, because you got one. And I hope it will even more spark conversation with the people that you are in community with, other people who love Jesus and love you. Now, if you're in a connection group, you found your group. Others, it's not too late to join. Others, you can just take a friend out to coffee. I mean, but some way, because see, the gifts for the body are best discerned by the body, right? So there are some things that you can do on your own, and I encourage you to do those things on your own, but that's really just the starting point, because there are parts of you that you can't see on your own, like the small of your back, like the back of your head. You can't see it, and yet all of the rest of us see it just fine. So there are people around you who love you and love Jesus who are able to help you see things that you may not yet see in yourself. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but let's read it together. Verses 8 through 11, here we go. To one, like to some of us, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. That's one of the gifts. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in all kinds of tongues. We'll cover that one next week. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Okay, so just to build on the foundation, what is a spiritual gift? So if you're taking notes, here's, I think, a pretty good definition of a spiritual gift. Okay, a spiritual gift is a God-empowered ability given to every believer to build up the body and glorify God. A spiritual gift is a God-empowered ability. In other words, you may have it before you were a Christian, but the moment you come to Jesus, this capacity gets turbocharged. It gets supersized. It's a God-empowered ability. Or in some cases, maybe you didn't have that ability, but now you do. But it's a God-empowered ability given to every believer. Why? To build up the body, so the people around you, and to glorify God. So, now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a list of nine gifts. If you're in the connection groups, you'll also be looking at some Romans 12, which is another list of gifts. You'll notice those lists of gifts, boy, that's hard to say that, is different. I don't believe this is an exhausted list of gifts. Like, oh man, I don't have one of these nine, I must not be gifted. I'm off the hook. Nope. These are just examples of what spiritual gifts are like. We can trust that God has given every single one of us, every person who is following Jesus has a spiritual gift. It may or may not be on this particular list, but every Christian, Every Christian has a spiritual gift because if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And that's the Spirit revving its engine in your soul. Vroom, 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 doing stuff that you couldn't do on your own. That's why you're God-empowered. God-empowered. Okay, so let's look at the first four that are listed. And what I hope you would do is one, just kind of become familiar with that. Ask yourself, do I have that gift? Maybe I do. Ask yourself, who are the people around me who might have this gift? Because then these are people that you can lean on. So let's start at the beginning. Or the first gift that is listed here is the gift of wisdom. Here's a good working definition of the gift of wisdom. It is a God-empowered ability to know the right thing to do. A God-empowered ability to know the right thing to do. So it's very practical knowledge. They may or may not be book smart, but this is the person you go to when you need life advice. Now, the scriptures clearly tell us that wisdom is a gift from God. I'm going to read for us James chapter 1, verse 5. And so James writes to the churches, if any of you lack wisdom, hi, that's me, you should ask God, dear God, please help, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So this is one of those biblical promises that all of us can lean on, and it seems that some of us have this on a pretty ongoing basis and maybe have just a little bit more than the rest of the body. So here's some signs that you might have the spiritual gift of wisdom. Here's the first one, is that you often have clarity in difficult situations. You just kind of know what to do. Second one, people seek your advice for godly direction. People come to you for advice. That's one of the reasons why all these gifts are communally discerned. Gifts for the body are best seen by the body. Here are some other signs. You can connect biblical truths to real life situations. That's the next slide. Thank you. Or you have a deep sense of God's purpose and plan in situations. You just kind of know. So take a moment and think, how has that been part of my life? Who are the people that you generally turn to for advice? When you're like, okay, I don't know what I should do. I've got this job opportunity, but it's going to require this, and it's going to require this. Who should I call? Who are you going to call? The gift of wisdom. Dun, 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 dun. No, that's not Ghostbusters. Hang on. I'm having a lot of fun with the worship team today, so pray for me. Okay, thank you. Whew, all right. But that's the gift of wisdom. Who do you turn to when you need good advice? God. Well, there's also people you call, too, and those are people who have the gift of wisdom. Thank God that he has given the gift of wisdom to the body. But let's look at the second gift, knowledge, the gift of knowledge. Here's a good working definition of the gift of knowledge, if you're taking notes. Okay, it is a God-empowered insight into scripture, people, or situations. And we see this also present in the scriptures. Here's an example of that from Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. So Paul writes to the church in Colossae, my goal is that you may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's a God-empowered insight into the things of God and the things of Christ and what God is doing in the world around us right now. So there's some similarities, obviously, with the gift of wisdom, but there's some differences, too. It is more head-based. It's more intellectual. The gift of knowledge often goes with the role of teaching or the office of teaching. We're going to look at the roles sometimes called the offices of the church in a few weeks, that the gifts often lead to roles. So the gift of knowledge. So here's some signs that you may have the gift of knowledge. Number one, this is probably the most important one, is that you have a deep hunger for God's word and a strong ability to understand and explain it. You've got people in your life and you look at their Bible and it looks like there are just marks everywhere. There's like, they run out of highlighter. Like it's just all over the place. Their Bibles are totally worn up. That could be someone with the gift of knowledge. If you have a friend and you bought them a commentary series for Christmas and they're clapping and cheering and all excited about it, they might have the gift of knowledge. Okay? Those of you who know what the blue letter Bible is and it's a bookmark on your browser, you probably have the spiritual gift of knowledge. It's a wonderful nerd resource, by the way. I say nerd in the fondest of terms, a Bible nerd. Yes. Gift of knowledge equals Bible nerd in the best of ways. Okay, but the gift of knowledge also can extend to just kind of relational circumstances. Like another sign is you often sense or kind of know things about people or situations without being told. Another sign is that you can connect spiritual truths, next slide please, thank you, in a way that brings clarity and revelation. So there's just insights into the Bible. Fourth sign, people come to you for insight on biblical or spiritual matters. Because people notice it in you. So when they got a Bible question, you get the text. You get the call. That is, then it's very likely that you have the spiritual gift of knowledge. Who are the people in your lives that you turn to when you need a Bible question answered? Who do you call? The gift of knowledge. Or are there times where you just sort of know something about somebody else? You just know, I just know in my gut that they are struggling right now. And so you give them a call. That could be that spiritual gift of knowledge. So hang on to that. Let's take a look at faith. Faith. Here's a good working definition for the spiritual gift of faith. It is a God-empowered ability to trust God. Now, we remember that faith itself is a gift, like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's a very, very powerful gift, but it is a gift from God. It's a gift given by God that enables us to respond to God, and it seems that some people just kind of have more of it. Like it just sort of resides in them on an ongoing basis. And it's powerful stuff. We read about this in passages like Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." So here's a sign. Here's some signs that you might have the spiritual gift of faith. Number one, you have a strong, unshakable trust in God even when others doubt. Okay? You confidently pray and believe for miracles and breakthroughs. Or this one here. You remain calm and assured in difficult situations, trusting God's plan. And here's the fourth and final one. Your faith inspires and strengthens others around you. Your faith inspires and strengthens others around you. So if you have the spiritual gift of faith, you might be the friend that somebody calls when they're having a bad day. You might be that friend when somebody's just going through a period of doubt. Maybe they're experiencing an extended time of hardship. And it's just, sometimes we just struggle. But you get the phone call. Are there people in your life that just seem to have an extra measure of faith? When you're like, well, we can't afford to do that. They're like, let's do it. You know. Are the people in the church body that say, you know, I realize this doesn't always make sense on paper, but I just know in my gut this is the right thing to do. We need the gift of faith. Who are the people in your lives that have the gift of faith? Lord, thank you for the people who have the gift of faith. Let's look at the fourth one, the gift of healing. Here's a good working definition for that. It's a God-empowered ability to pray for people, and they often get well. Now, I should say something about the gift of healing. See, the gift of healing is not opposed to modern medicine. If you ever meet a faith healer and they wear glasses, they're a liar. Or if you have meet a faith healer who says we should avoid medicine, just be very, very cautious about that. Remember, some of the apostles, well, like Luke, the book of Luke, he was the traveling companion of Paul, not technically an apostle, but he was a doctor. He was a doctor, okay? Some of you have gone into medicine because you have the spiritual gift of healing, because you are so concerned about the well-being of others. So having a God-empowered gift doesn't mean that you don't employ science. Doesn't mean that you don't employ good practices. Even, for example, when Jesus sent out the 72 to do ministry, he said, anoint them with oil and pray for them and heal them and cast out demons. I'm reminded that anointing with oil, the use of olive oil in the first century, was one of the major forms of first aid, because it's an astringent. It's something that can help when somebody has a skin wound. So covering people with oil was not just a spiritual practice, it was also first aid. So I just want to make sure we're really clear on that, that the gift of healing doesn't mean that you don't see a doctor, doesn't mean you don't listen to medical advice. What it does mean, eyes up, it just means that you pray and you involve God in the process, because God is the one who made your body, God who created everybody, that God is in the healing business. And so he uses all sorts of means to do that. So you take your vitamins, you try to eat right, and you pray. You do all those things. So I just want to make sure we're real, real clear on that. Because we do see examples in the scriptures where that spiritual gift of healing gets employed. Like so, for example, in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him, if they were taken to the sick, their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. So God can do dramatic things, but it's also helpful for us to remember that the very same Paul through whom God used to heal all sorts of people, that was one of the ways that the early church grew, was through that gift of healing. When Paul himself prayed for healing, God said no. We can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Three times, Paul writes, I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So who is the one who, when we pray for healing, who's the one who does the healing? God. So you may have the gift of healing, which means that God often uses you to bring healing to people. It doesn't mean that you control the gift, because it's not your gift. It's not from you, nor is it for you. In my experience, I realize I'm kind of giving a lot of disclaimers for this one, but this is one of the gifts that gets easily misunderstood and sometimes, I dare say, easily abused in the church. In my experience, the people where I have seen supernatural healing, and I've seen it, and maybe you have too, when I've seen that happen, the person through whom that gift arrives, usually that person who is praying as among the most humble people in the room. When I've seen the gift of healing exercised authentically, it's not because somebody yelled really hard, smacked someone on the forehead, and now everybody's falling on the floor and thrashing around. Though God can work in those ways too. If God causes you to fall over, just embrace it. But often the flashier the exercise of the gift, the less deep it is. But I have seen people with this spiritual gift of healing who love to show up in hospitals and sit by bedsides and pray for people and the sick get well. I've seen it. So here's some signs that you might have the gift of healing. Number one, you have a strong desire to see people healed and restored. That's also why I say, sometimes for people who have the spiritual gift of healing and choose to go into medicine, I realize we have some doctors in the room, that may be an exercise of that spiritual gift. God put that desire in you, and thank you for living that out, both through good scientific practice and through prayer. The two go hand in hand because the God who created people also created science. You know, science is us playing hide and seek with the Lord's creation. We're always, always, always learning. So that desire in you, you want to see people well. Some of you are on our midweek prayer team for that reason, because a lot of the requests on that midweek prayer list have to do with healing. And you are just moved to pray. And thank you for that, because we see miracles happen as we pray together for people. Because that's the first sign. Here's the second sign. Second sign is that you feel led to pray for the sick and they often recover. Now remember, if you have the spiritual gift of healing, that you don't control the healing. It's not about how well you prayed, nor is it how willing they were to receive the prayer. It's up to God. God is the healer, God is the decider, and when we are acting out of the spiritual gift of healing, we are acting out of response to the Spirit's work in our life. It's Him that does the work. But we often feel led to participate in that particular kind of work. You feel led to pray, and things often happen. Here's the third sign, is that you have an unshakable faith that God can heal in any situation. Fourth sign, people have experienced healing after you prayed for them. People have experienced healing. Are there people in your life that you think maybe they have the spiritual gift of healing? There are probably people in your life that if you had a loved one who was sick, they're going to be on your text chain. Like, I just need this person to know, because I want them to pray, because I just have a sense that when they pray, things happen. Who are the people in your life who may have the spiritual gift of healing? And maybe that's you. I hope you are willing to receive prayer from others. I love it that in our worship service during communion, we've got like a prayer team that prays for people. And the prayers that happen around the room here, I mean, we don't broadcast it. I guess technically we do because we're online, but we're not listing the prayer requests. You know, the prayer requests stay private just between that person and the person praying for them and the Lord. But tremendous things happen as we pray for one another. The same God who parted the Red Seas can help you to lower your cholesterol. The same Son of God who would feed more than 5,000 in a single sitting, he is not scared of your test results. So you can talk to him about those things. I hope you do. And I hope you allow others to pray for you with that. So here's what I hope we would do with this information. You know, this idea of spiritual gifts. Number one is that over the next couple weeks, you would be prayerfully asking, Lord, what are my spiritual gifts? What things have you uniquely empowered me to do? Maybe it's one of the four that we've already listed. Maybe it'll be the five we look at next week. Maybe it's part of the list that's in Romans 12. Maybe it's going to be something else. But I want you to know what your gifts are, or at least have some sense of what your gifts are. If you're in connection groups, we've also got some, and I'll make sure connection group leaders, that you've got some quick printout sheets that where people can do some gifts assessment. If for those of you who are online, if you look through, they sometimes call them the show notes, like the little words underneath me right now, there's a link there for a pretty good like online spiritual gifts assessment test. So that can be a great place to start, a great place to start. Those things are wonderful. More than anything, I hope that you would talk about this topic in your groups, that you would ask somebody, what do you think my spiritual gifts are? And people who love Jesus and love you will likely have something to say about that. Listen to them. There's a good chance it'll be in alignment with the things that you already have stirring in your heart, maybe from just your own prayer life, your own thoughts, maybe your own test, you know, the spiritual gifts assessment test that you take. Or it might be something a little bit different as well, because the people around you can see angles in your life that you probably cannot, actually you simply cannot see. There's no probably about it. You cannot see every part of your life, every part of your personality, every part of your gifts. So we need the body to discern the gifts that are given to the body. Ask others. Ask others. So as we look to apply this, even today, I would encourage us today to just ask, Lord, what is my next step? What's my next step? For some, that might be that take that spiritual gifts test. Maybe that's to be part of a group somewhere. You know, whether it's one of those connection groups that we offer, or maybe that's just take a friend out for coffee and say, hey, that guy on Sunday, he was yabbering on about spiritual gifts, and it's in the Bible, but I don't think I have any gifts, but what do you think? Or, you know, or like just to have a conversation with somebody about your gifts. Because here's the thing. You are here for a purpose. That number one purpose is to love God and love others, to know and abide and live in the dynamic, life-changing love of Jesus, to remain in me as I in you, and you will bear much fruit. That's number one. That's number one. And as you live that out, as you live out your pursuit of a life with the Lord, that's your number one purpose on life, to know God and glorify him, and mine as well, all of us. There are unique gifts, as unique as your fingerprint. There are unique gifts that God has given you because you are a gift to the rest of the body. And so your life will find its greatest fulfillment in knowing and living out the unique God-empowered abilities that God has given you. So that's my heart that you would know, that we would know, and that we would grow in these things together. You with me? Okay. So invite us to stand as we close in prayer, as we ask the Lord, Lord, what is my next step? There may even be a few people in the room today when I'm talking about spiritual gifts, you honestly, for a moment, you honestly believe you don't have one. And my prayer is that even in these next moments, the Holy Spirit would convict you to trust him that he's given you something. That's my prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank you that every single person that has responded to you ever has been filled with your Spirit and in some manner has been empowered by you. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be the body of Christ together. Lord, help each of us to know, have greater insight on some level of what it is that we have to contribute that can bless and build up the people around us, and in doing so, honors and glorifies you. Lord, thank you that there is no one that's here by mistake. Lord, thank you that there is no one here who has nothing to offer. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you to equip and empower the body and to equip and empower each and every one of us in whatever way you choose. So I just invite you, friend, as we're talking to the Lord together, I'm going to be silent for a moment. I just invite you to ask God, Lord, what is my next step regarding the spiritual gifts that you've given me? Holy Spirit, thank you that you're talking to people right now. Help each of us and all of us to follow you, to trust you. Thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead so that absolutely nothing separates us from you anymore. Help us to live into that and to believe that. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.